You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. I let it love what I thought it was funny.
This is Ed Cohen, your editor of globalbusinessnews.net and your host on Global Radio Talk Show. com, coming to you today from Houston, Texas and San Diego, California. Our special guest today is Michelle Colonna, Vice President with Cigna Global Health Benefits. Let's welcome Michelle.
Hello.
So Michelle, you're based in the Houston area. What part of Houston are you in?
Actually, today I'm connected to the Galleria, so in uptown Houston, Texas. That's where the Cigna offices are.
Great. Our show, globalradiotalkshow.com, is all about conversation with leaders such as yourself on issues connected with talent, mobility, oftentimes on a global basis. Michelle, tell us about yourself and about your position in Cigna Global Health Benefits.
Okay. I hail from the East Coast, and I found myself in Houston. I began my career with Cigna on the East Coast. In the U.S. side of the space and the business, and I say that I got to the global side as quickly as I could, and I've been here for 26 years, so you could say I did grow up in this business, which I actually did. I was here not when they opened the doors for the first employees, but when I started with Cigna Global. We had 26 international employees, and now for just the globally mobile or the expatriate space, we have over 1,900 employees in 26 countries. So I started out in a frontline sales position. I was given a phone book and told to build a business. And I like to say, and the rest is history. And then in such time with a lot of hard work, Cigna has become the largest carrier for employer-based expatriate benefit programs. And when I say expatriate, I'm using that term globally. I do not mean that to mean any connection to the U.S. A lot of people use expatriates only when they talk about U.S. citizens outbound. I'm talking about expatriates anywhere around the globe, anyone that expatriates from their home to travel or live abroad for work.
Now, may I ask you, do you do international travel or are you basically Houston-based?
No, I do quite a bit of international travel. I've been to over 40 countries for the scope of my employment, and I am the North American sales lead for the Cigna Global business. And so, in fact, this month I will be out of the country, I think, 17 or 18 days this month of May. So I do get out of the country quite often.
So what countries are you bound for in May, if I may ask?
In May, easy countries, Spain and the Netherlands. I just recently was in Dubai earlier this year as well.
Hey, let me ask you about Dubai. Is it safe walking around there being a woman?
Yes, it's very safe. I feel very safe because you see everyone from women completely covered to women in very scantily dressed Western wear. So I think it is known to be very safe. I think it's a little bit different, you know, doing business there depending on where the country a company came from, how accepting they are of women in the workplace. Do you shake their hand or do you not shake their hand and things like that. So I'm just always culturally sensitive to where I am.
One of the challenges is cross-cultural learning, of course, and this is like a prime example, isn't it? When do you shake hands? When do you not? Is it a degree of women being covered, and therefore, if they're covered, don't shake their hand?
I think, and it's very different across, I went to Bahrain as well when I was in Dubai, and I think that would be seen as being a little bit more conservative. I went there to meet with Cigna's partner in the Middle East, and was received very well. A few of my colleagues were held up in immigration, so it was interesting. They just picked and choose who they detained. But I think it's very different if you're a woman and you go into Saudi Arabia, because, many of the businesses say they can't have women in them, even if they grant the visas, because they may not have facilities, restroom facilities for a female. So therefore, you can't go into that building to do work. So it's very, very interesting, and there you would be covered.
Very interesting indeed. Okay, let's get into the weeds here, if you will, about what's going on in global benefits, health benefits. Tell us a little bit, if you can, at this moment, about this most recent survey. I understand that there were some unusual findings, but first tell us about the survey and who was involved and how extensive was it?
This is the third time that Cigna and the NFTC have collaborated to do a survey. And I think what's very interesting, Ed, about our survey is that it is based on the end user, the employee, or the expatriate, if you will, versus most surveys out there are based on employers' opinions. So we do this survey, and as you know, I represent Cigna Global, and we do benefits. The benefits are a very tiny portion but very important piece of the whole expatriate experience. We went into this in 2000 with the NFTC to get, for us, in a sense, Cigna, to get a better holistic understanding of the expatriate's experience. So that's why back in 2000 we started doing this survey, to give us insights into, okay, you know, as a manager, you may think you're doing the best job, but your employees may not. So these expatriates have one opinion of the services they're being offered in the mobility space versus what the employer thinks they're offering them, and there's disconnects.
What disconnects? Is it about preparation or communication once people are on assignment?
Some of that, but I do want to step back. One thing I didn't say to you regarding the survey that we spoke to, the outside firm that does this work spoke to over 2,700 individual expats, I mean the expats themselves, in 156 countries. So this is a very broad sample size that we're working with. And what's so interesting is that the participation in this is up 79% since 2013. And we attribute that mostly to social media, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and things like that. And another very interesting fact is the demographic of who is responding to the survey now, because it is the amount of Americans or North American outbound expatriates is down 10% from 2013, 24% from 2000. And what's very, very interesting is that North Americans were only 42% of the respondents of this year's survey. So while that gives us a great depth and breadth of information from, you know, it's very diverse, but it shows the challenge that global mobility managers face, because it's a very diverse population. It's not all outbound people from London, U.S., U.K., or Canada going out any longer.
I need to jump in and ask you now to go a little bit deeper in this regard with respect to other countries sending people out and to where they are being sent. Is it different? For instance, are Chinese companies sending people around the world? I would think so, but you would know better. What about German companies?
Yes and yes to both. I would say that the second highest, North America, is 42% of these respondents, but then we still see a great deal of Europeans being expatriate out of their home country. And then third to that would be Asia Pac, and many of that is the Chinese outbound. So of course, those are three very diverse populations that are melding together that have different needs.
Now, the benefit packages from these European or Asian countries for their own population being sent out, that's way different than Americans, isn't it?
Yes, it is very different. And what one country, of course, for North America, medical is most important. And if you're coming from a country with a socialized health program, you know, receiving company car or meal vouchers may be more important. Now, when people are put on these global medical programs, I mean, medical continues to be one of the, you know, the top three concerns from employers and employees, that they will have access to appropriate medical care once they're on assignment. And I think that that's what we, Cigna, have, we've built a quality network to provide that service. But sometimes still, coming from some countries, just say if an expat was coming from China, if they were left on a local private Chinese program, it would not travel with them. And then that's where some of the disconnects happen.
Now, the benefit for non-U.S., non-U.K., particularly non-U.S., the expatriate benefits for people being sent out from China or Germany or France or wherever, these packages are quite different, aren't they?
Yes. I mean, you'll have some countries that still attempt to do like a global package, but you don't see as much of that because there has to be, you know, it's so expensive now for expatriates. So it depends if the company will say, okay, we are going to have this person tied back to their home country benefits. And so then you have, it's very, very different because everyone's coming from different home countries. So you'll see a difference sometimes in their pay scale and what that's based on. But then you'll see more similarities in like schooling for their children, but you'll see differences in housing. So across the gamut, we find.
The expectations of the internationals, not the U.S. companies, but the around the world sending people out, the expectations and ROI and preparation of their population going out and the care while on assignment, do you have insight into that? Is it different? Are they better prepared than Americans going out?
I don't know that maybe they're necessarily, some companies and, you know, some very paternalistic societies would be much more, do more preparedness. They'll do a lot of work with the employees before they go on assignment. But also I think it has to do with the culture of the individual, because I think some people from, say, North America would expect a country to be, they have the same benefits that they have when they get into the United States and they turn TV on and they're going to see the same sitcoms, and that's just not the way it is. So I think that a lot of the rest of the world is more mobile. If you look at Europe, because the countries are the sizes of our states, so they can open borders. They can just go from one country to the next, but they have different cultures. So I think they're more accepting of it than we are. I think it's very difficult to measure the ROI of an assignment. There have been studies done and work done around that, but I do know that a failed assignment is extremely costly, because an assignment, an average three-year assignment would be equivalent to over $1 million. And one of the top reasons that an assignment fails is access to, like, a health incident or access to quality care. And a lot of times it would be of a dependent. And that's why the pre-planning, pre-departure work is very important. So you have a family that's going to Singapore. It's a first world country for sure, but you cannot get Ritalin there. So if you have a child with ADHD, you have a real problem there.
Very specific. So diversity, and from this regard, diversity has nothing to do with male, female, or black and white. It's everything, isn't it?
It's everything. It's not just limited to that. You know, like, we look at how, you know, the 81% of our respondents are still male, but that's up. The female, which is a good thing. We're seeing more representation of females. And for this specific survey that we did, it was the average age was over 50, which these were very experienced expatriates that responded to this survey. You may get a little bit different result if we targeted younger or not as experienced expatriates, but I don't think that you would see that much difference because we're seeing all the emerging trends. We're seeing where they are localizing benefit schemes, and we're seeing this at Cigna in our own business, where you need to be able to offer a regional benefit scheme, and we're seeing shorter assignments and more developmental assignments.
Now, let's zero back in on Americans for a moment and the survey results. I remember seeing a slide from one of the presentations that there seems to be a disconnect in once people are on assignment, relative lack of communication with the management or with the relocation directors. And maybe I'm saying this incorrectly. Maybe you can jump in here and correct what I'm saying. What is the insight, the findings in that regard about once people are on assignment, now we're talking about Americans, is there a steady communication?
It's all over the book. 40% of the respondents say, or nearly 40, that they only had one communication prior to departure, and then only one in four, so 25%, received any kind of messages on a quarterly basis. So there really is a lot to be desired. Mostly it's email and phone calls with their HR is how they typically communicate. But I do know that it is a prevailing feeling or thought among a lot of globally mobile employees is that out of sight, out of mind. And I think that this is really prevalent when you look at repatriation. Repatriation is really a concern for the globally mobile because most companies say that they have a repatriation program. However, the expat does not see it that way. And we have verbatims in our data that say, you know, I'm going to need more help when I'm going back home than almost when they're gone. Because if someone's been on an assignment 3 to 5 years, things change. And especially with media the way it is today and technology, you could miss an entire Seinfeld, but that was a 10-year show. But people that were on assignment during that time came back. They didn't know any of this. They didn't know soup Nazi, yada, 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 hello. I mean, and you think about that during that time and then how quickly things come and go today. And if you were out of in Kenya or somewhere in Nigeria on assignment and you don't have access to this, how difficult it would be to come back or to come back and there's 45 cereals on the cereal aisle and you're used to there being two options.
It is a mind blower. So I have a white paper, being a publisher here, I get all kinds of things from a lot of people. I have a white paper from an expert in EAP, global EAP, assignment preparation by a very large Chinese company that is already quite prominent within the U.S., never mind in other countries too. And their white paper is all about why at least 1 year of planning and preparation prior to sending out a specific person and making sure that the assignment is going to work, number one, and that the people, the employee plus family, are schooled in the new culture, can speak the language, has people on the ground ready to go. I mean, really, really hardcore helicoptering and preparation. And their thinking is that it's too much of a risk. They don't want to have bad will. They don't want a bad footprint out there in the world community. And they can't understand why Americans aren't better prepared when they come to China. And there's so many problems, and blah, blah, blah. And so I just bring that out because the survey findings it really reveals some interesting lack of preparation by home office management, or lack of knowledge by home office management about what the whole expatriate thing is all about. Would you agree to some extent?
No, I agree full-heartedly with that because I think if you think about the people that are sending people out on these assignments, many of them have never been on assignment themselves, have never maybe even been out of the state in which they live. So it's very difficult for you to put yourself in their shoes, but you haven't walked the walk. And I think that that is something that is definitely missing. But I could never see, I mean, almost taking a year to prepare to send someone, that's almost like you're trying to prepare your child to go to university. You know, that took you 18 years to get there. But I think there's a happy medium, because I think what we do here in North America, there's a business need. The business comes to HR, hey, we're going to move this person. This guy's got the only skills, or this woman has the skills we need. And the HR people, the ones that would do the pre-assignment work, they don't find out about it sometimes until someone's already been sent, or they're going to be sent in 2 weeks. I know I had a boss that moved to China, and he went through cultural training, he and his wife. And but it was very difficult when he got to China. I mean, he made out well, but he continued to be had language training and cultural training when he got there. I mean, it was very interesting that when everyone would have him get on the elevator first, they would wait, stand back. He was to get on. You know, when you go out for dinner, the lowest person would typically pay the bill. I mean, it's a very different culture. So I don't think you have to have on-the-job training, though, too. So I think it's a combination.
So we're talking with Michelle Colonna, Vice President, very senior within Cigna Global Health Benefits Solutions. And we've been talking about research about global talent mobility and about the employee experiences and about the survey Cigna has performed with NFTC, National Foreign Trade Council. I assume this information is available for the public or for the industry. Is that correct?
Yes. It's on weknowexpats.com.
Weknowexpats.com.
Right. And there's an executive summary, and it's not too executive. It's not too brief. It's a very detailed summary of information and very interesting read if you're in this industry.
Would you like to sum up a little bit about the employee experience and where do you think this is going? And is Cigna getting more into the consultative prep for the in-house HR and line managers so that they know what they're getting into?
Yes, I think it is becoming more and more consultative, and it's before, during, and after. And it's the expatriate's entire journey that we see as our experience. So we do provide pre-departure planning for all of our expatriate clients. But like I said, it goes far beyond that, because it has to be after assignment, because it's the whole journey that these people go through. And, you know, we have a full range of health and wellness programs that we offer. Many of them are just baked in to our products, where, you know, we'll do a health risk assessment, and it's not to determine if someone's not fit to go on assignment. It's to really look for red flags, medications they may be on, conditions they may have, or their dependents, so that we can help their assignment be a success. And this is a very important trend in our industry right now, because it's not just a treat people when they're ill. It's to advise them when they're well so they don't get ill. And this movement is making its way outside of the U.S. for sure.
So it's not health care, it's not sick care, it's wellness care.
Right. It's well-being, health and well-being, to keep you in a good place. But to be there when they're sick, but it's to keep them well. And this is finding its way outside of the U.S. This is a fast-growing trend.
It's been very educational, Michelle. Thanks very much. This is a delight for me to have you on the show, and extremely educational. So, Michelle Colonna, thank you very much. This is Ed Cohen, editor of GlobalBusinessNews.net, and your host on GlobalRadioTalkShow.com, signing off from Houston and San Diego. Thanks very much, Michelle. Have a good day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Somebody show is fun. Come on, baby. Run crazy. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.